Good morning.
Good morning.
Wilderness Inner Spiritual Enterprise Incorporated. I bring you greetings from Shiloh New Site Baptist Church in Stafford, Virginia, where my pastor is Reverend Larry L. Swanson. A lot of you are familiar with him. He was a little under the weather, and he called me to step in for him. And I am glad to be here. I want to thank Ms. Robinson for the phone call that invited me, gave me the specifics of the time and place. And I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out this morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to stand before these your people and deliver the message. We pray your blessing upon this worship service and everyone attending this service today. Send your Holy Spirit to minister to these, your children, this morning. We will forever be careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. For you are the true, one and only living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My text this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And if you are able, I'd ask that you stand while I read the text. Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, and it reads as follows. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be made known. Wherefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed from the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The subject of my message today is saying one thing and doing another. You may be seated. Saying one thing and doing another. In our text today, we find St. Luke, also known as Dr. Luke, writing about a warning that Jesus gave to the disciples. Jesus was warning the disciples about the actions of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were saying one thing and doing another. Amen. Jesus called them hypocrites, pretenders. A crowd of many thousand had gathered together and were stepping on one another. This crowd was enormous and undisciplined. They trampled one another, anxiously waiting to hear a person they thought was a political leader who could free them from the Roman stronghold. But Jesus took this opportunity to warn the disciples of the types of people that might be present in the crowd. This event took place after the disciples had witnessed two other great gatherings with Jesus. You may recall in the 14th chapter of St. Matthew, verse 21, where Jesus fed 5,000 men besides women and children with just five loaves of bread and two fish. Then another time, he fed 4,000 men, women, and children with seven loaves of bread and five fishes. This was a perfect time for Jesus to teach about the coming judgment and how decisions made that day would result in different outcomes for different people. Big decisions with eternal consequences. On the subject of the coming judgment, church, we must be ready when Jesus returns. We can't be like the five foolish virgins in the parable that Jesus talked about. We have to get our priorities right, and we have to do it now. As I said before, the decision to follow Christ will have eternal consequences. Yes, Jesus told the disciples to beware of the Pharisees, whom he called hypocrites. But what about us? I ask you, are you a hypocrite? Do you say one thing and do another? Are you holier than thou on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning, people can't tell that you're a Christian? Jesus was basically saying that the truth always comes out. And there is nothing that we can say or do that God doesn't already know about. God is omnipotent. That means he knows everything. Nothing can be hidden from our God. Whatever we speak in darkness or whisper in the closet, even that will come to light. The Pharisees were trying to appear good when their hearts were far from God. They could not keep their attitudes hidden forever. Their selfishness would act like yeast, and soon they would be exposed for who they really are. They were power-hungry imposters, not devoted religious leaders. Each of us must resist that same temptation, the appearance of respectability, when our hearts are far from God. You may know church leaders like that, that seem to want a high position, but don't care about people. They are hypocrites, and the Bible says they already have their reward. God's truth is the light, and it cannot be hidden. The secret motivations and desires of a hypocrite will be revealed for the whole world to see, because they are puffed up and full of leaven. Leaven is a substance that you use to make bread. You may call it yeast. Yeast is a symbol of corruption and evil. God is never fooled by hypocrites. Just as sure as cream rises to the top in cow's milk, everything said in private will become public knowledge eventually. Hypocritical behavior fools many people, but it eventually is uncovered by God and made known to man. Instead of being puffed up, believers have to learn to do God's will and to trust that in due time, God will reward us for our faithfulness. Jesus then tells us not to be afraid of those who can kill us, for there is nothing else other than that they can do. We know that God determines where we spend eternity. Sure, we might pay a dear price while we're living here on earth for professing to be a Christian. But God alone controls time and eternity, and that is what we should be concerned about. Fear of opposition and ridicule can weaken our witness for Christ. That is why Hebrews 10:25 is so important. It says that we should forsake not the assembly of ourselves. We have to come together in church to encourage and build up one another. One of the problems we have, we often cling to peace and comfort, even at the cost of our walk with God. But Jesus reminds us here that we should fear God and fear Him only. Don't allow fear of a person or group to keep you from standing up for Christ. It's natural to fear people that want to harm you, but it makes more sense to fear God, for He presides over not just life and death, but He also presides over eternity. Those who remain opposed to Him by their unbelief and their unrepentant sins will be punished in hell. Jesus is not trying to scare us in this message. He's trying to reassure us. There's a lot of creatures on this earth that God made that are less valuable than man. Man was the object of God's affection. But if you see God taking care of those less valuable creatures, let's take the birds, for instance, that neither sow nor gather into barns, yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. How much greater will God care for us? Surely, such an all-knowing God will meet our every need. We're special to God. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And God knows the number of hairs on our head. How much greater will God care for us, I ask you? Our true value is God's estimate of our worth, not our friend's estimate. Other people evaluate and categorize us according to how we perform, what we have achieved, and how we look. But God cares for us as He does all the creatures on earth, because we all belong to Him. Therefore, we can face life without fear, knowing that we are God's children. Our assurance is if we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord before men, that Jesus will confess us before the angels of God in heaven. To confess Jesus before men means to acknowledge Him regardless of the consequences. People who allow human authorities to frighten them into disowning Jesus will be disowned in heaven before the angels. The future and eternal reward Jesus promises if we confess Him far outweighs any current pain or suffering that we might have. You may not look at it this way, but I want you to right now. We disown Jesus when we hope that no one thinks that we are a Christian. We disown Jesus when we decide not to speak up for what is right. We disown him when we are silent about our relationship with God. When we blend into society. When we accept our culture's non-Christian values. But on the other hand, this is when we do acknowledge him and when God is pleased. When we live moral, upright, Christ-honoring lives. When we look for opportunities to share our faith with others. When we help others that are in need. When we take a stand for justice. When we love others. When we acknowledge our loyalty to Christ. When we use our lives and resources to carry out his desire rather than our own. If a person is ashamed of Jesus, that person will face shame when Christ comes in judgment. If you acknowledge Christ, he will acknowledge you. Christians shall encounter hardships along life's journey. But should we not cast all our cares on him? Is he not the one that cares? Trust him and fear him only. And in our effort to prepare for Jesus' coming, there are three things that we can do. Number one, give. Number two, pray. Number three, fast. When you give, though, do not do it publicly. If you give publicly, then you have your reward. Give of your time to encourage others. Give of the first fruits of your labor. Give money to the poor. If there be among you a poor man, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from him. He is your brother. And yes, we are our brother's keeper. Open thine hand wide unto him. Lend him sufficient for his need. Give to those in need, such as you have. And remember, it's not your money anyway. Amen. It's God's. All things belong to God.
Amen.
Give what you are able. If there be first a willing mind, but I caution you, if you're given and it's not a strain, at least 10%, God may not be pleased with it. Help others with money. Whosoever hath the world's goods and seeth his brother in need and shutteth his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When I was in college, I pledged a fraternity. And 2 weeks ago, there was a convention in D.C., 100th anniversary of that fraternity. Now, I don't know how you all feel about fraternities, but I was in college. And back then, you know, we did a lot of silly things. But anyway, I went up there because it was a 100-year anniversary, and I bought this jacket to commemorate the fact that I attended the conference. And when I left the hotel and was on the subway returning back to Stafford, Virginia, that's where I live, there was this young man who came up and asked me for some money and said he was hungry. Well, I had spent all that I had on that coat, except I had $10 left in my pocket. If I'd had a $1 bill, I wouldn't have minded giving him that, but that $10, I had to think about it. But I wanted to give. I gave him that $10 because I realized that I had enough on my smart pass to get out of the subway station and to get my car out of the parking garage at Franconia Springfield. That's an example of how God wants us to give. Help others with money. Share food with the hungry. Charity begins at home. That means, first of all, make sure that your father and your mother are not going without the essentials and necessities of life. And your sisters and brothers, regardless of whether they're doing what they're supposed to be, you know, I think we owe them a certain amount of care as a human being. I'll tell you a story, and it has to do with faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Well, there was this second-year medical student. Her name was Helen. Her father died when she was 11 years old, leaving her mother and five children with no pension and no life insurance. Helen's mother worked two jobs just to keep a roof over their head. She had often warned the children that they would have to pay for their own education. Helen's mother had taught the children the importance of giving. Helen tithed from her babysitting money. Her brothers tithed from their newspaper route money and from their grass cutting money. Helen remembered a quote from John D. Rockefeller of Standard Oil Company when he was asked by a reporter how much of his money he was going to leave behind when he died. Mr. Rockefeller said, "All of it." That quote kept Helen grounded because she knew that God was no respecter of person. Here's Mr. Rockefeller, a very rich man, but he knew that when God called his number, he would have to go, regardless of whether he wanted to or not, and that he couldn't take anything with him. That impressed Helen so much. It taught her that one day we will all have to stand before our Creator and give an account of the life that we lived. Every person will have to do this. Our God will bring to our remembrance many things that we have long since forgotten. Besides, the more you give to God, the more he gives to you. God has always provided for Helen. He has proved to Helen that she need never worry when she sought to live her life according to God's will. God's provisions will always be sufficient for her needs, and God's provisions will always be sufficient for your needs. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Amen. Helen knew that her heavenly Father was always nearby to comfort and to help her. Church, we should also pray. Prayer should be simple and trusting as we come to our Heavenly Father. We should ask, and it'll be given. When we pray, we should pray in Jesus' name. We should believe and we will receive. We should call on the name of the Lord and we should realize that he is nigh. We should pray earnestly and seek God's face. God said, if my people would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then they would hear from heaven and be forgiven. That's a paraphrase of 2 Chronicles 7:14. When you pray, confess your sins. Pray for mercy and pray that your sins are forgiven. You should, as much as possible, be in a state of prayerfulness. We can never pray too much. No matter how bad the situation, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Never, ever doubt God. Church, pray as long as you have breath. And remember, prayer requires time and commitment. So why don't you have a little talk with Jesus? Prayer pleases God because it shows that we love him and his fellowship. Prayer is about honesty and integrity. Those are the key elements. You must develop fortitude for standing up to spiritual battles that you're going to encounter from time to time. You do that through prayer. Ezra, in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, we find that Ezra prayed and fasted. He had gotten permission to bring his people back from Babylon, back to Jerusalem. And he knew that was going to be a dangerous trip. So he both prayed and fasted before the Lord. And he petitioned the Lord to protect them from danger. And God did so. We too have to ask God to bless our endeavors. Whatever we do, no matter how big or small, we should go to God first in prayer. When we seek God in prayer, he doesn't scold us or reject us. He lavishes us with love. As our relationship with him grows, our trust in him overcomes any anxiety we once had. And then fasting. Fasting is a form of self-denial. When we fast, we refrain from eating while continuously seeking God. Church, I'm not trying to drive home a point of criticism about the Pharisees, nor am I trying to drive home a point about the hypocrites. The point is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is coming back. That's the point. And no one knows the day nor the hour. So you better get ready. You better get ready. The stakes are high, and your choices will have eternal consequences. God has given us a choice, what we put in our heart. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Each of us must make a choice. If we put God first, we know he will supply our every need. Knowing that God has our best interest in mind, it frees us up to do his will. Always remember, you may be wounded during your Christian journey, but whatever happens, church, continue to pray. Amen. The doors of the church are now open. If there be one among you who does not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their Savior, as I've said many times in this message, now is the time. Now is the time while the blood is still running warm in your vein. Tomorrow is not promised to you. If there is one, would you please come? If there's probably all of these people are probably members, so there's probably not one here coming from membership, or if there's no one that's coming for membership to be a part of WISE, then we thank you for coming, and remember that God is your very best friend. He loves you, and he will not leave you. All the promises in his word are true, and you can trust him. Thank you.